edition of Blacklisted Radio. It's the 18th day of December 2016. I'm your host, Doug Owen, and it's almost time for 2017. Wow, what a year. We are experiencing pretty unprecedented cold, or at least in the last few years. We haven't seen cold like we're seeing across the nation, especially here where I reside today in North Austin, Texas. A lot to get into. There's a lot to discuss for sure. You can be part of it. 800-313-9443 is the toll-free number to join us. You can also join me and the crew live chatting at blacklistedradio.com during the live show. And you can leave messages whenever you like. You can also text us and leave us voicemails at 512-222-3067. So where to begin? I guess with the farewell of Barack Obama. He had his final media press conference, ran a few hours, watched it all, thought it was pretty interesting, some of the things that he said. And, I'm going to really, really miss this kind of direct discussion of geopolitics with the media that I don't think that we're going to probably see with President-elect Trump. So anyway, he had some things to say. Of course, he blamed domestic propaganda, aka fake news, blacklisted news, news that you probably subscribe to out there if you're listening to the show. And domestic propaganda empowered foreign state-sponsored propaganda, i.e. Russia Today. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but that conflation between, I think, anti-New World Order, anti-globalization activist, anti-neoliberal policy advocates, people like myself, going on RT shows and having that kind of crossover from what he considers alternative media, or in his words, domestic propaganda. So he banged the war drum for Syria, blamed Russia and Iran for helping Assad commit genocide. A pretty interesting point that he wanted to make to the international community on his way out, putting more pressure. Of course, you know, we could talk about Aleppo and what's happening there with these humanitarian corridors and, the she said, he said as to who's killing who, who's supporting who, and all of that. Of course, there's the state view, the U.S. State Department's view of what's happening, and then the international aides and, those that counter, the counter-narrative, people that actually are there, like RT, probably press TV as well. All of the people that are reporting on what's happening in Aleppo today happen to be in Lebanon. So, we get footage from drones and other media outlets. I'll be the first one to tell you that there's probably no one that isn't guilty of something when it comes to the criminality and the high amount of civilian casualties that have been incurred since this 6-year war, what the U.S. likes to call a civil war, I would call a proxy war, has taken place. So we had a lot to say about Syria, primarily blaming Russians. And interestingly enough, I think that the Russians, of course, Vladimir Putin, one step ahead, cut ties with the International Criminal Court just last month. November 18th, the New York Times reported that they have relinquished their role with the International Tribunal that sits in The Hague, which is in the Netherlands, if you didn't know. So, I had a lot to say. Of course, this is the same Obama administration that just ordered George Bush's war crimes remain secret for 12 more years. So when it comes to transparency, it wouldn't look good if we talked about all the horrific things that we have done to people, especially, those crimes that I think a lot of people, when you talk about a mandate, when people initially voted for Barack Obama, really wanted him to go after Bush, just like a lot of people voted for Trump, hoping that he would go after Hillary Clinton. We'll get to some of that. Lots to talk about with Trump. But, you know, the hypocrisy there, not to mention, sure, the new National Defense Authorization Act 2017 is coming up, and this authorizes weapons, direct MPADs, which are anti-aircraft rockets, other heavy artillery, things that if you had in your home would be called a weapon of mass destruction, are going to be given to Syrian moderates, Syrian rebels vetted by the CIA. So whatever that means, I mean, you know, keeping I mean, I don't even know if there's a point of addressing the facade of legitimacy that the CIA, the State Department, is trying to put on this, that absolutely no one, not even people that are not usually fooled by fake news, you know, can believe in. I mean, they don't know. And of course, to have plausible deniability, they have to say, well, we really don't know. Weapons end up in the hands of ISIS and others that are, you know, on the same strategic side as the United States because they want to ouster Bashar al-Assad. One thing I thought that was pretty interesting was that when asked why he didn't intervene, he said he would have liked to intervene in Syria, but that that he didn't have congressional support, that the government or the people that we're supporting over there are not yet ready to rule. And of course, you have laws, international law that would have been broken. Something that didn't seem, at least during the Bush era and most of the beginning of Barack Obama's tenure, seemed to be a consideration. But anyway, there were some things to glean from the goodbye farewell address to the nation. I'm sure a lot of people could care less. One of the things that we have coming up, which is the next thing that we have to get through to have this unbelievable to a lot of people, this prospect that, yes, Donald Trump will be the next president of the United States as of January 20th. If he gets past the Electoral College, that's, you know, there's been a lot of rumors about people possibly flipping their vote. There's lots of protests going on across the country. People, you know, even using death threats, harassing and chasing down electors. Obama addressed that as well. He said that it's not the elector's job, and I agree with him on this statement. It's not the elector's job to decide who becomes the president of the United States. It's the American people. And I would go beyond that and say that it's the Electoral College that you know, stands between maybe a megalomaniac, but people do, you know, see that comparison. Like, they believe that it's necessary to save the Republic from you know, Donald Trump. So, you know, people are wondering, will there be a coup? What kind of, you know, spycraft and statecraft is going on behind the scenes? Could this be? Because Donald Trump was, you know, stymied by his own party, even the neoconservative wing of the Republicans, the Trotskyites had pushed to have some dark knight or dark horse candidate, rather. I'm thinking about Batman, sorry. Dark horse candidate to come in and usurp Donald Trump and trying to steal the nomination away from him. You know, that's what the big two parties do. I mean, beyond all the fake news and the Russian hacking, I mean, can we not discuss the fact that Hillary Clinton was working with the media? You know, Donna Brazile at CNN giving her questions to help her in every way, that there was a concerted, I mean, it's not a conspiracy, it was a concerted effort by mainstream media and Hollywood to get Hillary Clinton elected. They failed, and the wrath. We must kill the alternative media. We must go back to the days of, you know, Project CIA, Project Mockingbird. We should get to that too tonight. So, can he get the votes needed? Can he get those 326 that he allegedly got on election night? I don't know. I mean, I would say that there's probably a 99% chance that that happens. Otherwise, we'll have a constitutional crisis and people will be freaking out. And who knows what may come of that. But there was this Harvard professor, I think, that was saying that there's, you know, up to 20 or 30 electors. You have, you know, the rabble rousers, the people like Michael Moore out there, you know, demonizing and going after, of course, Trump at every turn and wants this huge demonstration, massive protest at his inauguration, you know, to let Donald Trump know that the left does not like Donald Trump, which I just think is, you know, kind of self-evident. You don't really have to go to Washington, D.C. and to the cold and scream to get that point. I think he, you know, he looks at Twitter more than he probably should. So he already has a good idea how people out there feel about him. Somebody that's not getting a lot of love from the liberals or the left media, and generally people, most people probably are not thrilled with this Rex Tillerson to the State Department pick, the U.S. Secretary of State. Rex Tillerson, we talked about him last week. He is a bona fide Texas billionaire type and a little extra statecraft, maybe from within the Obama administration or some of Hillary Clinton's technocrats. There's a leak that came out today from The Guardian that ties Rex Tillerson to a Bahamas-based U.S.-Russian oil company. Of course, a lot of the focus on Tillerson has been around his ties to Vladimir Putin and, you know, the collaborative effort by ExxonMobil to tap Arctic reserves and to, you know, tap Russian gas. Tap that gas, baby. That's what he's about. International man, somebody who gets business done. Somebody that I guess is different than John Kerry for sure. And I mean, the obvious optics around him have to be pretty bad. You have Dick Cheney, who is a big time backer of Rex Tillerson, which is, you know, I mean, it's just obvious. I mean, he was an oil tycoon that became the vice president and probably the acting president of the United States. He's been putting pressure on Marco Rubio and other Republicans in the Senate to confirm him, that being Rex Tillerson. So, yeah, that's probably a problem. You know, for the people that are not more enamored with the fact that Kanye West was there at Trump Tower this week, you just, you know, kind of glean what's important, what's real news. Every news channel I was watching, I guess it was Wednesday night, had, you know, Kanye West, TMZ, I mean, real news of what people watch, had, you know, constant coverage of TMZ. What did Kanye say to Donald Trump? Is he going to be part of his team? Is he going to be an ambassador to some kind of, you know, island somewhere like the Bahamas? On and on. I mean, the constant coverage and media punditry that went around that whole thing was just absolutely silly. But it shows you their focus, which is creating clickbait, creating, you know, interesting stories for the masses. It's, you know, piss poor journalism, but it's also, you know, highly popular. So you do have a capitalist model for news today, especially with, you know, models like TMZ. I mean, they're just interested in getting a story and probably have less government and, CIA control than a lot of other institutions. So, fake news has become a problem. We've talked about this over and over again. Facebook has unveiled its plan to bury alternative news. They have some pretty interesting groups that will be fact-checking your articles, blacklisted news articles, things that you share with your friends, your family through the Facebook platform. They've decided to make it easier for Snopes, factcheck.org, ABC News, and the Associated Press, and of course, PolitiFact to fact check your fake news. So basically, if there's a news item that you see that you think is fake and you want it to stop from going virally, then you push the button, you click it, give it a couple clicks, and it will send it to the fact checkers. So, you know, of course you have to really think about who or what will be involved in creating this ministry of truth, not just for Facebook, for all of the platforms out there where people interact. I'm sure Twitter will have some kind of response to this as well. Anyway, you have to go back. You have to think about Project Mockingbird, which Carl Burstein, along with Bob Woodward, blew the lid off the investigation in their piece in Rolling Stone, 1977, the CIA and the media. And basically, the nutshell of this was that during the Church Commission, we found out that more than 400 journalists over the past 25 years had carried out secret assignments for the CIA. They were working with through their full range of clandestine services, working with reporters, Pulitzer Prize winners, distinguished reporters, many of the people that get these very highly distinguished honors end up being in the employ of the CIA. It was beyond that. The New York Times, Time Magazine were also involved in it. The Washington Post is really the poster child for the CIA. The founder, David Mickelson, who was a CIA disinformation agent, was instrumental in starting the New York Times. So, I mean, there's a lot of history there. Thomas Braden comes to mind. He was a CNN commentator, and of course he has all the creds. Trilateralist. He was a Council on Foreign Relations person, group member. He was part of the OSS and the CIA, worked in journalism his whole life, psychological operations, and he had the CNN. Of course, we didn't know about all of this until he died. Only then did we find out that his past endeavors in controlling ideas and fighting communism and by any means, and of course planning stories and his tie-ins into Project Mockingbird. But anyway, he was a CIA spook that worked on the CIA payroll and spoke out for leftist neoliberal policies. And so that's there. Of course, Germany now has a new plan. They want $500,000 fines, euro fines, that is, for Facebook failing to remove fake news within 24 hours. So you've already seen some of the fall of that. Also, when we talk about fake news and the CIA covert operations on U.S. soil prior to the Smith-Mundt Act. Really interesting article that came out in 2015 about how the CIA covertly nurtured modern art as a Cold War weapon. Robert Motherwell, William Koning, Mark Rothko, Jackson Pollock, a lot of artists in the modern art arena during the Cold War were promoted and funded by the CIA directly. Not only that, but literary magazines for socialists that were funded by the CIA. There's a great list that we published back in 2015 as well, with Tom Brayton's confession when he just came through about how the CIA was funding the National Student Association and any other socialist European unions they were working to, counter pro-Soviet organizations, all in the, attempt to control and to propagandize the American population, or to protect us from foreign propaganda. So here we are today, and it's the same foes, really the same story. And, the only thing that I think that's really a debate is whether or not we have a Cold War when it comes to academics and policy experts. I would say that people in the Pentagon probably think it's slightly beyond a war or Cold War with Russia and the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, China, of course, this week finding the unmanned submarine drone and deciding, well, we'll give it back to you after we look at that, but you need to get out of here in the South China Sea. We were scared that we were going to hit this thing and, you know, all the politicking around this and whether or not they're going to, you know, give it back to us in a cardboard box after they've disassembled all of it and cloned it for production there in China. That is definitely some of the transitions when it comes to the world order. The international order is something that John McCain spoke of this week and said that, you know, the U.S. lacks leadership. And leadership is usually a buzzword for, you know, foreign domination, military domination, a strong military presence. That's what leadership means. We didn't show leadership in Ukraine, and that's why we had all these problems, and Vladimir Putin was able to annex Crimea, blah, 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 blah. So, going back just for a moment before we talk about the drug war, some interesting developments have happened there. You know, there's an interesting piece about how half of Sweden, the Swedes, avoid mainstream media, get most of their news from alternative news sites. And this has to scare the heck out of people like George Soros, who is now going to help fund the Facebook. You can't make this up. He's going to help fund with private speculation and a bunch of other people, including the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the owner of The Intercept, Pierre Omidyar. They're going to be funding this project to help clean up fake news. And, of course, Soros has been funding Snopes through the Open Society Foundation, many other organizations. The Daily Mail actually has a piece here. Clinton megadonor George Soros leads lineup of liberal billionaires who are funding Facebook's fake news fact checker. You have George Bush's he gave $25 million to Clinton. He tried to defeat George Bush. He's one thing, he's not been very successful, but Google, the Bill and Melinda Foundation, and the National Endowment for Democracy, NED. We could go into a long, long discussion about how the National Endowment for Democracy is a tool used by the CIA in state, you know, craft and in spy craft and in funding revolutionaries to promote, you know, our U.S. values and, well, corporate interests, to be fair about it. So anyway, this new feature will be available soon, and it was just announced Thursday night by Mark Zuckerberg that they would be working with Ned and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation alike. So, you know, all of those stories about, I don't know, GMO being bad, I don't know if they're going to make it as far as they used to. You do have a lot of liberal sites that are even, very leftist, but still talk about genetically modified organisms and like all of that. So, oh man, I guess we're missing the break here. why don't we take a break there, Ken? And you sure? Okay. So the clock changed there, and sorry about that. Appreciate Ken back there doing all of the hard work. This gives me a moment, though, because beyond Bill and Melinda Gates, there are other options people have out there. One of those is this radio show. So I want to thank the supporters that we got this week. John C. gave us $20. Not the CIA, not some other group of shadowy organizations. Just a guy and a good friend of the show. We received a good friends of the show, I should say, $120 from Lila and Ivana. Hello, Doug. Thank you for a whole year of excellent fake news. Enjoy the Christmas gift with your wonderful wife and two sons. All the best from them. So I appreciate it, guys. That's the alternative. You know, I've never been a big Facebook fan from the get-go. I do have a profile, and I find it useful to see what people are saying and to, you know, catch up with people you probably wouldn't otherwise from high school and things like that. But it's not an overly valuable tool to me. I don't make it like a social connection for a lot of business or really communication. You know, you have the messaging system that I'm sure is completely secure. Wink, wink. All of that. So you have an option. And I think a lot of people, you know, like Facebook because it is an aggregator, just like an RSS feed, just like anything else of news. It compiles things that you like. At some point, I think a lot of people, especially people that on the right, that will probably see a lot more of the liberal filtering, considering the new Ministry of Truth is being controlled by, will probably become more and more disinterested. I mean, it's only a matter of time before it jumps the shark, and you know, with over a billion users, at some point, you know, like Facebook, like most other things, it will die. It might not be tomorrow. It might not be even a few years from now. But if they censor it to the point where, you know, it's no longer valuable as a news agency, then they will have. I would like to think that it would be the ultimate demise, because once something becomes unuseful and uninteresting, then people naturally quit using it. So anyway, when it comes to fake news, you can only imagine what, you know, the truth will actually become on the Facebook news feeds. And they'll probably use clown filters and just basically bury alternative news you know, from the view of people that would want that. I mean, you know, most of the news that you get on Facebook is stuff that you want. You've asked for it. You've signed up by following those people to get it. You can curtail who you hear from, and you can turn off people so you don't listen to them because they're just talking gab, 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 and show you pictures of their kids, and you just don't want that. But you don't want to hurt their feelings, so you can just pretend to follow them, things like that. Anyway, one of the things that was just a huge story that got almost no traction this week was that we have a huge record. We now have 50,000 drug overdose deaths in 2015. If you can imagine that, pretty crazy stuff. We'll talk about heroin, drug war, Trump, your calls, 800-313-9443, and more on the other side is Blacklisted Radio.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Only a fool would go to a plumber for brain surgery. But otherwise intelligent people use internet searches to find such gems as Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK with 3 shots from the rear and 1 shot from the front. They get similar financial guidance when they are investigating cryptocurrencies. RBN listeners know that American currency has not been lawful money for nearly 50 years since the thieves at the Fed stole the silver out of the coins and began reneging on redeemable notes in 1968. Now that the dollar has just about inflated totally away and banks want reverse interest to keep your books, the high-tech world has brought you an alternative. What if you could buy, sell, and trade with fellow business people from your home with zero bank fees? If you believe banking tyranny must end, then join the digital currency movement now. Call investigative journalist Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Okay.
Without the right accessories, any gun can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfeld tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturing inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
How you doing? It's Jimmy here from Zipa. Today I wanted to tell you about my efforts to achieve global elimination of snoring. It all starts with respect. Respect for yourself and respect for others. Listen, you think you're being a nice guy or a nice girl by letting a guy or girl next to you sleep and snore every night. It's the ultimate disrespect to have that happen. You wake that person up and you tell them, go to Zipa.com now. Zipa.com. We're not going to tolerate this. All right, snoring is not okay. Like, someone next to you is snoring. You tell them to buy a Zipa. Zipa.com. I know that you're listening to these snoring things, and you're thinking, "Well, it don't apply to me. I don't have these problems." A lot of people are in denial, but it's true. Listen, if you're snoring, you got to stop it. What you got to do is get this fixed. Get a Zipa and change your life. ZYPPAH.com. And I say, live it like we're ready.
Live it like we're ready. All right, welcome back to Black Listening Radio. Let's go to the phone lines, 800-313-9443, toll free number to join us. And let's see. Ken's put this here for me, and I will find the name. Gone. Skype will work with me. It's all right. Let's go to the caller. Caller, welcome to Blacklisted Radio. Oh, okay. Well, there you go. All right. So if you'd like to be a caller, 800-313-9443 is the number to join us. Let's talk about the drug war. So 50,000 deaths. This would be a huge story. AP actually reported on it. More than 50,000 Americans died from drug overdoses last year, the most ever. The disastrous tally has been pushed to new heights by soaring abuse of heroin and prescription painkillers, a class of drugs known as opioids. If you didn't know, heroin deaths rose 23% in 1 year to 12,989, slightly higher than the number of gun homicides. So this was on parallel, but now exceeds gun deaths in this country. And of course, when you think about gun deaths, you got to think about how many people commit suicide, take their own life, how many of those things are inflicted on themselves, okay? Not all of these are people that are, you know, homicidal. How many of these people have defended themselves? So when you look at the numbers, I mean, yeah, it's a lot of people, I mean, that have died at the hand of a gun. But, you know, it's not – people think that that's all gun crime and that's all done, you know, where there's a victim involved. Although, you know, if you shoot yourself, we can argue about whether or not you're a victim. It's not necessarily a good thing, but there's a lot of other ways you can commit suicide. One of those is by overdosing on drugs. Slightly easier, probably in bluer states to do that. So, I mean, this is a huge story. Also, on the heels of that, 500% growth in infants in rural areas showing up addicted to heroin and opioids. New study found heroin and opioid-related problems are showing 500% increase among pregnant women and infants. Just a horrible story. This came out of JAMA Pediatrics. The study, which really culminated out of just tons of really bad stories about people that are, you know, addicted and then their children have to be weaned off of morphine and the like. So, I mean, these are real drug problems. I bring this up in light of course, this move by the DEA to quietly classify CBD oil as a Schedule I drug. So if you're not familiar, CBD is a cannabinoid, cannabinol, that is extracted from either hemp and or what most people would call marijuana or cannabis. You know, it actually has buds that contain high amounts of THC, which is a separate compound that people you know, smoke and get psychoactive effects from, to be clinical. So this is something separate, and there's a huge market already in the U.S. for CBD oils and the like. So putting that into this new scheduling, saying that Schedule I drugs are the most dangerous. Of course, if you go to the DEA's own website, I did today, Schedule I drugs are substances and chemicals that are defined as drugs with no currently accepted medical use and a high potential for abuse. Some examples of Schedule I drugs are heroin, lysergic acid, dimethylamide, LSD, marijuana, cannabis. Then you have ecstasy and peyote and methaqualone. So, pretty interesting to see that Schedule IV drugs, which they say have a low potential for abuse and a low risk of dependency here, are Xanax, Soma, Darvin, Darvocet, Valium, Advian, Talwin, Ambien, and Tramadol. Okay, these are the drugs that are killing people. These are things that are... I mean, they're just so much more. I mean, Xanax is so much more powerful and has so much more of an effect on people than marijuana. It's not even funny. And that's it just shows you how kind of not only intellectually, but, you know, scientifically bankrupt the DEA actually is. So they have some problems. Anyway, this action is beyond the DEA's authority, according to Robert Hoban, a Colorado cannabis attorney and adjunct professor at the Law University of Denver, who told the International Business Times, quote, "The DEA can only carry out the law. They cannot create it here. They are purporting to create an entirely new category called marijuana extracts, and by doing so, wrest control over all cannabinoids. They want to call all cannabinoids illegal, but they don't have the authority to do that." So, yeah, and the funding is another issue. Can they create their own laws? Can they just, you know, let's quickly change a little of the wording on their website and boom, go after these businesses? You know, the DEA is in a hard spot. The Washington Post, CIA propagandist outlet, had a piece. DEA laments that media attention is making it tough to put people in jail for pot. You know, it's just there's not enough money in it. And people just don't get it because it's been popularized by Snoop Dogg, because he's got, you know, you have this cultural affinity. Turn on the TV, the kids are smoking pot. I mean, it's always there. The you know, the modern day music, hip hop music, I mean, so much of it is drug oriented. People that are now, you know, Generation X, people my age, their late 30s, early 40s, somewhere in there, 30-something, 40-something, you know, they don't have these same misconceptions, and they have not been you know, misguided by propaganda and do not see these marijuana and heroin being even close to the same things. So the popular perception and people, you know, are just not. I mean, we had a kid here not too far from where I live, which is a pretty strict county to get caught with just about anything. It's just really tough. He had a pot cookie, and he was selling pot cookies, and he was using like cannabis oil. And they wanted to run this kid up the ringer and use him as a martyr and put him away for life for, you know, selling a pot cookie. And literally it became a national media story. And, you know, the overwhelming amount of pressure from citizens, from people, from international or national media base made them drop charges and force the police to back down because it just exposed them for their absurd obsession with trying to destroy, you know, this young man's life. I mean, questionable decision making at 17 or 19 or whatever he was. Yeah, I mean, 19-year-olds make some pretty questionable decisions, but to put him over, you know, in jail for the rest of his life. So the DAs they're losing on the moral front. They're losing the moral authority to go after people, to, you know, drop SWAT teams and helicopters down on, you know, 84-year-old medical marijuana patients. You know, the people just don't feel the same kind of support for that. Also, interestingly enough, the drug war has a lot of different tentacles, and we've talked about, you know, all of them, from the CIA drug running to you name it. But an interesting piece that also kind of ties this in. Local police worry Trump will punish sanctuary cities by cutting drug war funding. One of the things that the Trump administration can do, because you have these militarized police forces that are dependent upon their SWAT team cash for their tanks, for their military weapons. That's something that Trump has said that he wants to get out to police so they can battle the criminals, whoever they may be. And that's pretty objective or subjective, and you know, at the discretion of, you know, Mr. I've got a badge on. So, but anyway, it's an interesting piece, you know, from The Intercept, tying how you know, the politics of the money and you know, how you can hurt cities because of all the federal funding, how somebody like, you know, Donald Trump or Barack Obama, for that matter, can penalize and, you know, go after cities. They, you know, Obama would just send the Justice Department after you. You know, you haven't hired enough minorities, or the IRS, which has become a strong arm of the apparently, and pretty, you know, proven that it's a strong hand of the executive branch. It was during the Obama administration. If Obama would do it, wouldn't think that Trump probably wouldn't. So, you know, and some of the other things. I mean, there was another piece about how two entire police departments were shut down in Louisiana over these FBI raids. They had this DEA drug ring conspiracy. Basically, you had two guys that were former feds that were working with this Hammond Police Department. Basically use a task force to go after drug dealers to steal their narcotics and then to sell them to their own you know, contacts. And you just see like how not just the drug war, you know, how it just preys on drug dealers, but actually it corrupts and subverts, you know, police departments for the mad cash that they get from it. And, you know, of course, you know, people in power like to pad their pockets. That's why people are freaking out about, you know, Donald Trump. He's going to pad his pockets. Well, there's a good chance, you know, he's not going to do it for $250,000 a pop speeches, because he doesn't have to Goldman Sachs. He just brings them into his cadre of transition team specialists. I mean, you know, people, you know, are now such Trump Trump fans that, you know, I get a lot of backlash when I'm critical of Trump, or if I point to the fact, you know, that, you know, like Mad Dog Mathis, the fact that he, you know, he's called Mad Dog, you know, might, you know, raise a couple eyebrows. Anyway, you know, things that government knows about people, and social media networks, fake news. Interesting note, Twitter has now cut off fusion centers, something we've talked a lot about here on this show, from social media surveillance tools. So Twitter has this thing called the fire hose. Basically, if you're a scientist, anybody, you have money, you can buy this fire hose where basically all the tweets in the world shoot down this fire wire, this cable. It's probably a really, really big fiber optic cable that goes right to your NSA hub, and you can use all of that data. So basically, fusion centers were, you know, another machination of the Department of Homeland Security post September 11th, you know, making America safe again. And basically, almost all medium to large cities around the country have a fusion center, which is like a federalized kind of Gestapo monitoring your tweets and making sure that the citizenry do not organize their pitchforks and their torches and their bodies to take on the state and or to disrupt, you know, keeping us all safe. So anyway, the reason is not because, you know, the reason is because they have found out that the ACLU in California has been revealing that that police departments are using this technology so they can specifically track black dissident groups. So now all of a sudden it's a problem because it's racist, because they're using it selectively. They're not, you know, and in their mind, maybe not going after enough white militia type people or white supremacists that seem to be all the rage these days. Although, you know, as much as I hear about white supremacy and the Ku Klux Klan or the Ku Klux Klan rather, you know, I've never met a Klansman. I've never seen a person out in public, not even at a punk rock concert, wearing any kind of Nazi regalia or you know, white pride T-shirts. And I live in Texas. You would think that, you know, maybe one. And I can't say that I ever have. Maybe at a punk concert, maybe. But, you know, listening to the media, you would think that they're just so prominent. You know, the Southern Poverty Law Center is tracking all these dissidents and all of these white supremacists. And, of course, the blurry line between white supremacists and people that are critical of U.S. foreign policy, critical of the banking structure, critical of central government. People that mention that Janet Yellen might be Jewish. People that take note at the names and people in government and what their ulterior motives might be. So anyway, I'm glad that this has come to light and that Twitter would actually, you know, say, hey, this is wrong, and thus we're not going to do that. We're not going to help you build a Muslim registry or Jewish registry or you know, a black dissident registry, and we're not going to be complicit. Shows that they have some moxie. Anyway, not talked about at all, and I mentioned it earlier in the show, new NDAA provision would allow U.S. to arm Syrian rebels with anti-aircraft weapons. It wasn't widely reported during the debate of the 2017 National Defense Authorization Act, nor indeed was it mentioned in either the House or Senate versions of the bill. But the NDAA provision has within it that it would allow the U.S. to send shoulder-fired anti-aircraft missiles to rebel factions in Syria. Yeah, there you go. And back to government knowing too much. This headline today, I thought it was kind of funny to bring to the show. If you bought a dildo in Denver, the government must legally be told now. This is real news. Online retailers in America will soon be required by law to disclose to state governments what purchases their customers, meaning you, have made. That extraordinary situation is a result of a long-running legal case that the U.S. Supreme Court this week refused to hear. This means a decision by the 10th Circuit requiring out-of-state retailers to report to the Colorado state government the details of all purchases, including what that purchase was and who bought it, stands. So, you know, they're not happy with all the, you know, the billion-dollar bumper crop of marijuana that has, you know, boosted tax revenue. They want to know every time you buy anything from Amazon so you can pay that state sales tax on it. Texas, you're supposed to do it. It's kind of an honor system right now. I'm sure other states are doing it. Amazon conveniently provides you the ability to do it. I do it just because, I mean, even if the government came back a few years from now and told me I owed them, you know, $15, it wouldn't be that big of a deal, but, you know, I try to cross the T's and dot the I's. Quick break, final segment on the other side. Quick phone calls if you like, 800-313-9443. It's Blacklisted Radio.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
All right, welcome back. It's Blacklisted Radio. Let's see. We still have Mike in Kentucky. Mike in Kentucky. Let's go to him. What's up, Mike? Welcome.
Hey, you know, you're talking about how cold it is. I think I had a little conversation with your board op there. He's talking about coming up here to Kentucky. Man, we have already had temperatures down in single digits, like 8 degrees, so be prepared if you're coming to Kentucky. Hopefully they'll welcome you in with open arms, but it's cold. No doubt. I heard somebody the other day griping about it going to be down in the 50s in Texas, and I'm like, it's cold. Anyway, you had touched on a couple of topics here I was going to mention, and of course, it looks like I'm a deplorable, according to one article you have up there. I just did a quick
look. You took the test. You found out that you're a deplorable.
Well, I think we need to get Jeff Foxworthy on this bandwagon. You might be a deplorable. You know, he needs a new routine anyway instead of the redneck thing. But I think most rednecks are deplorable by default. The crack cocaine thing, you've got an article up that says some particular police department actually started manufacturing and selling crack.
Gotta give them something. Gotta give them some crack to get the crack dealers. So,
why would a DEA, I guess you may not know, but it's kind of a rhetorical question. Why would a drug detective, openly tell an entire community that they don't believe some of this fentanyl and heroin, synthetic opioids, that these people that are on these are ever going to be able to be rehabbed? I mean, it's almost like putting a word out that there is no hope for these people, and if you're going to stop them from destroying your family, you've got one choice. I mean, that's the takeaway message I got, because they didn't think that some of this stuff they don't believe is so strong, the high from it, and they keep seeking to get that high again from these synthetics that they just end up destroying everyone around them. And right now we've got, and this is right across Kentucky, we're talking about the babies and stuff that are being born addicted. I thought it was bad here. It's even worse up in Pennsylvania, from Pittsburgh on to the west. And so it's not just pillbillies in Appalachia, which around here a lot of people think that's the problem, you know, that it's just up here in Appalachia. But
prescription drugs are better. Yeah, have you heard about the antidote for heroin overdoses, this Narcan? And there's another one. The price of that for, you know, fire rescue for your local hospitals has gone up 500% because it's the only thing that'll keep these guys alive, and the injectable nasal spray and auto injectors.
You're talking about the stuff that stops an overdose,
right? So just this year they've seen the price of that. And so when people think about, well, how much money does your government spend on the fire department, they're not thinking that they're spending $55,000 to $100,000 in those budgets just to have Narcan on those trucks. It's one of those really hidden extra costs in the drug war. But
and just the EpiPens, I mean, the crazy cost of the EpiPens is just insane. You can make one for something like $30, but they want $700 for two of them.
It's amazing stuff, Mike. Appreciate the call. We're out of time. I'll be back next week for another live edition of Blacklisted News Radio. Everybody have a Merry Christmas. Thank you to the supporters. If you'd like to make a contribution, we appreciate that. It will definitely go to good use. Do that at blacklistedradio.com. So thank you to the listeners, the people in the chat room, and of course Ken back there working ones and twos, board opping, Mike, our guest, our caller, and we'll see you on the other side. Till then, everybody take care.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
RBN. Broadcasting Network.